नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 26 टेक्स्ट 12 Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Atmana Mahayam Chakre Dupale Pashragadibihi Sarva Lankrita Saravango Mahishyam Adhate Manaha. Translation. After this, King Puranjan decorated his body with suitable ornaments. He also smeared scented sandalwood pulp over his body and put on flower garlands. In this way he became completely refreshed. After this he began to search out his queen. Purport. When a man comes into good consciousness and accepts the saintly person as a spiritual master, he hears many Vedic instructions in the form of philosophy, stories, narrations about great devotees and transactions between God and his devotees. In this way a man becomes refreshed in mind, exactly like a person who smears scented sandalwood pulp all over his body and decorates himself with ornaments. These decorations may be compared to knowledge of religion and the self. Through such knowledge one becomes detached from a materialistic way of life and engages himself in always hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and other Vedic literatures. The word sadvalankrita used in this verse indicates that one must be absorbed in knowledge gathered from the instructions of saintly persons. Just as King Puranjan began to search out his better half, the queen, one who is decorated with knowledge and instructions from saintly persons should try to search out his original consciousness, Krishna consciousness. One cannot return to Krishna consciousness unless he is favored by the instructions of a saintly person. Therefore, Srila Narottama Das sings, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya Chitete Koriya Aikya. If we want to become saintly persons, or if we want to return to our original Krishna consciousness, we must associate with Sadhu, a saintly person, Shastra, authoritative Vedic literature, and Guru, a bona fide spiritual master. This is the process. Several devotees are to be initiated today. So it is expected that something should be said about gurus and disciples. One essential point to understand is that when we speak about guru, the guru is always to be understood in relation to sadhu and shastra. Srila Prabhupada often quoted, as he quotes here, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya Chitete Koriya Aikya. There are many persons claiming to be gurus, but most of them in the modern age we can reject summarily because they have no proper connection with sadhu and shastra. For instance, there's one person who is known by the name of Sai Baba. He has no parampara, and the claims for him to be Bhagawan are clearly not supported by Shastra. Therefore we cannot accept him as a guru. Now a disciple is supposed to commit himself to guru. Actually the commitment is to Krishna via the medium of the guru. The eternal relationship is with Krishna. That is the central point of relationship, of love, is Krishna. Krishna has made the system to approach him by a guru. So the commitment to Krishna should be full and complete. And the commitment to guru should similarly be full and complete. And unconditional. That is the meaning of pure devotional service, unconditional. Unconditional means I will always do it. I don't have my own terms and conditions. Not that if I feel like it, I'll do it. If I don't feel like it, I won't do it. Today I feel good, I'll chant 50 rounds, and the next day either I don't feel good, I won't chant any rounds. So here the condition of our own mind comes in. Unconditional means Krishna has given the order, I must do. Every day. The surrender to Guru is also unconditional, with the faith that Guru represents Krishna. If I do what the Guru says, that means I'm doing what Krishna wants me to do. And of course, that can be exploited by unscrupulous persons posing as representatives of Krishna. Therefore, we have to see also, sadhu and shastra. Is the Guru instructing according to the parampara and according to the shastra? So surrender to the Guru is unconditional. But there is an underlying condition. One approaches a guru because one is confident that he properly represents Krishna. But it may be that someone who properly represents Krishna can later not properly represent Krishna. And if it is observed that this is the case, then one should withdraw one's unconditional surrender to him. In this regard, there is the shastric injunction. Guru rapya viliptasya karya karya ajanataha utpanna pratipannasya parityago vidhiyate. Guru api, even if one is a guru, there's no higher position in human society or even demigod society or even rishi society than that of the guru. Sarva devo maya guruhu. The guru is, all the demigods are representative. In the Guru, in the personality of the Guru, who is non-different from Krishna. Acharyam mam vijaniyam. This should be known very well, Krishna says. But even if one is a Guru, if someone, somehow or other, he falls from that position, doesn't know how to instruct properly, is not properly situated, then he should be fully rejected. Now, it might seem strange that I'm talking about accepting, rejecting a guru on the day that you're accepting a guru. But actually many people reject their guru, but for the wrong reasons. They take initiation vows and they don't follow them. That is one kind of rejection of guru. There's no meaning to accepting a guru without following his instructions. And in our movement we are quite strict in accepting disciples. And even I myself am more strict than most of the gurus within ISKCON. If you can read, you should read Prabhupada's books. That's one condition. You have to read a certain amount of books I want you to read before you take initiation. Don't take food not cooked by devotees. Don't watch TV. Know clearly what the four regulated principles means. No illicit sex means sexual life is only allowed for procreation of children. So some devotees may think, well, this is too much. It's like a kind of punishment. Why are you so strict? But that is for your benefit. I can't help you unless you're prepared to help yourself. There is this sahajya idea that you just get some blessings from a guru, and then that's all you have to do. When the guru is an instructor and gives you instructions that help you to advance, if you don't want to take those instructions, then how can you advance? If you only want to take diksha, but you're not prepared to take shiksha, then it means you don't understand what is diksha. By Srila Prabhupada's great mercy and by his great hard work, we have so many books of transcendental knowledge available for us. So you have to take advantage of those books. It's not that I'm just walking around and giving blessings and everyone's just all of a sudden becoming spiritually perfect. It doesn't work like that. So I'm telling you, read these books. It's for your benefit. It's for my benefit also. It's for my benefit means I don't want to be surrounded by all kinds of neophyte disciples. Neophyte means they're highly conditional. They're acting on the platform of ego, not on the platform of guru, sadhu, and shastra. So they have so many personal ambitions to fulfill.
They'll fight with each other
because they're not situated on the spiritual platform. So see everything through the eyes of guru, sadhu, and shastra. You should understand that there's no meaning to having a guru without your connections with your guru, but the connection is simultaneously with shastra. So being a disciple means we have a commitment to Krishna consciousness. But Krishna consciousness is delivered through the parampara. In one respect, there's no difference between the guru and the disciple. They're all, the gurus and disciples, they're all jivas. But the guru is offered special respect because he represents the parampara of great acharyas who are coming in the line of Krishna. Krishna manifests himself in this world in various ways. For the disciples or those who are eager to advance in Krishna consciousness, they are to be guided by Krishna in the form of shastra and in the form of guru. So to be a disciple means to have full faith in guru, sadhu, and shastra. Not just guru. There are so many guru cults that they just center, my guru, but you have to see your guru is not alone. There's the whole parampara of previous devotees and of present devotees also. So with this mature understanding, we have to commit ourselves to guru, which means to commit ourselves to guru, sadhu, and shastra, and ultimately to Krishna. What do we aspire for? What do we aspire for? What is our aim? That is to be molded by guru, sadhu, and shastra. Whatever our previous aims and desires were, leave them behind. Now we have to leave them behind. Even the whole way we see the world has to change. Just like, for instance, here in Sri Lanka, there is a general state of distrust between Tamil people and Sinhala people. And I think, as far as I know, it's more pronounced here than in other parts of the island. So people from this area, who are mostly Tamil, they will tend to think Tamil good, Sinhala bad. That is an example of conditioned thinking born from the cultural background, which has got nothing to do with spiritual understanding. You may say, well, they are bad. See what they did this and they did that and they do this and they do that. And of course the Sinhalese people, they'll say, well, the Tamils, they do this and they do that and that and that and that. Rather, by seeing through the eyes of knowledge, that means the eyes of shastra given by guru, we should see that various people are under the spell of illusion. Some kinds of people are in illusion in one way and some are in illusion in a somewhat other way. But it's all forgetfulness of Krishna. For devotees from a Tamil background to understand, I am not a Tamil, is the beginning of spiritual life. Now I have a body that is designated as Tamil. Previously, I presumably didn't have one, and after I leave this body, I probably won't have another Tamil body also. So study these books to get a clear understanding of who we are and what we are doing in Krishna consciousness. And actually, we should try to forge brotherhood between Tamils and Sinhalese and everyone by distributing these books and giving knowledge of the soul. So in everything we do, our thoughts should be molded by guru, sadhu, and shastra. The guru is supposed to... He's guru because he embodies all the principles of shastra. Practically we saw that in the personality and activities of Srila Prabhupada. A very good guide for us in our day-to-day activities. And when we have to make various decisions, is to remember what Srila Prabhupada did, what he wanted us to do, what he instructed us to do. A very good meditation would be that, well, would I, if we're thinking I'm maybe doing something wrong, we can think, well, would I do this if Prabhupada was here standing next to me? So in every act, we're to be guided by Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. It's very useful, also very helpful for us to know about Srila Prabhupada's activities, how he acted and reacted in various situations. Vajradapi Kotorani, Kusamapi, what is that, Komal, that description of Lord Ram is given, that he could be as hard as a thunderbolt and soft as a rose. Well, soft as a rose, Prabhupada translated like this, it actually means soft as a flower. So sometimes we may feel like becoming angry, but we should know that Prabhupada didn't just become angry because he was in a bad mood, but sometimes he would become angry for the sake of serving Krishna. In America, there's a well-known saying, and it's become so well-known that it's written in initials all over the place. There's a saying which has become so well-known that you'll see it written in initials on people's clothing, on walls. What, it's WWJD, what would Jesus do? It's WWJD, what would Jesus do? So the idea is that Christians, they think, they're trying to meditate at every moment and think in my life, all the different situations that happen to me. What would Jesus do? I should try to act as Jesus would act. For instance, there's a story in the Bible of Jesus being tempted by Satan. And Jesus says, no, I won't do what you say. So Maya is always tempting us. So we can remember Prabhupada was never in Maya. He doesn't want us to be in Maya. At every moment we have to make decisions. And our aim is to always act in a manner that is pleasing to Krishna. Sometimes we have to make very big decisions. Big decisions means it affects not only us, but others also. So before taking major decisions, we should consult Guru with the understanding that the Guru represents Shastra and Sadhu. Or we may consult senior devotees, experienced devotees. And of course, we have to see, generally we accept that the Guru's instructions are in line with Shastra. We should be ready to follow those instructions. Of course, if the Guru asked us to open a butcher's shop, we might think, well, I don't think that's coming from Krishna. We don't find any of the previous acharyas did this. It's not recommended in Shastra. There seems to be something seriously wrong here. It just made me think, because you showed me yesterday this book with a debate between Buddhists and Christians. But both the Buddhists and the Christians are engaged in animal slaughter. So for all their debate, they didn't come to a very good platform of spiritual understanding. The Christians' idea is that God created the animals so that we can kill them and eat them. Horrible idea. Once in America, one father, he was actually a very, very big, prominent businessman, one of the famous businessmen in America, father of one of Prabhupada's disciples. He came to visit Srila Prabhupada. And he was somewhat inimical. And he was arguing, what is this not eating meat? Come on, you should eat meat. Saying meat tastes very good, it's very healthy. Srila Prabhupada said to him, then why don't you eat your son? The man was so shocked he didn't say anything else. It's amazing. It seems the Buddhists, they never thought that their whole aim is to get free from suffering, right? Buddhism, the idea is to get free from suffering. Isn't it? That's the whole be-all and end-all of Buddhism. Now, how are they going to get free from suffering? By inflicting suffering on others. As long as they're engaged in eating meat, then they're inflicting suffering on others. And for all, they say, well, we don't kill the animals, someone else kills them. For a system that purports to have such sophisticated philosophy, it's a really, really weak excuse. They may say, well, in Shastra it's also allowed, meat eating, in your Vedic Shastra. Well, what do we reply? And then we have to take Shastra through Guru and Parampara to explain all these points. That's not meant for you. That may be allowed for certain persons in certain circumstances, but it's not meant for persons who are serious about advancing on the path of love of Krishna. Shastra is the center. It's not that the Guru is the center and he makes his own Shastra. But Guru is supposed to be knowledgeable in Shastra. Shastras are immense. Immense, vast, vistaram. So who can know everything and understand everything? So the acharyas in history, they have guided us through the great labyrinths of Shastric knowledge. Is there any word for labyrinth in Tamil? It's actually a very good word. Yeah, it's a very good word because it's like a maze in three dimensions. It's a maze in three dimensions. So you go and you don't know where you're going, and it's very complex, and you may go a long way and then find you're not going anywhere. It's very frustrating. So in the same way, one may follow some philosophical line through Shastra and go for lifetimes exploring it and not get anywhere. You end up in a dead end. The acharyas, they find the essence of Shastra and guide us in that. And the Guru means he doesn't personally study every Shastra, it's not possible. But he takes what's given by the previous acharyas and teaches that. And he may also consult at some point what is in Shastra, or he may consult with fellow devotees. But it's not just a matter of reading the law book, you should do this, you should do that, not do this, not do that. But one who understands the purpose of Shastra and is sincere to live according to that and guide according to that, Krishna directs such a devotee to give proper direction to others. Now, one question that's often asked, what is the meaning of this statement? Chokhudano diloje janme janme prabhuse. Who has given me eyes? That doesn't mean eye camps. That means the eye of Shastric knowledge. Who has given me the eye of Shastric knowledge is my Lord birth after birth. So what does that mean? The Guru comes again and again? Well, the relationship between a bona fide guru and a bona fide disciple is on the spiritual platform. It's not on the material platform. Between parents and children, it's on the material platform. Between guru and disciple, it's on the spiritual platform. So the spiritual platform means it should continue. Of course, the guru should be on the spiritual platform. Otherwise, it could be just a very lucrative position, that you become a guru and people look after you and give you money and you live comfortably and that's it. One who has no personal desire to be a guru, that's a good first qualification to be a guru. If one wants to be a guru for the sake of lab, puja or pratishtha, a monetary gain, being respected, having a position, then he's not fit to be a guru. But if one accepts disciples as a duty ordered by his own guru, with a desire to help them, then he is fit to be guru. And disciple means you should be ready to follow. There's no meaning to a freelance disciple. Dika kale bhakta kare atma samarpan, at the time of initiation, so should be prepared to follow what is said. That doesn't mean that one cannot put one foot in front of the other and walk from one place to another without taking specific permission. Take some maturity on the part of the disciple to be a bona fide disciple also. Not independent, but not so dependent that he can't go and pass water without permission from the guru. So, dhyang stuvang stasya yashas tri sandhyam. One meditates on the glories of the guru at the three sandhyas, three times a day. So that's a spiritual relationship. And that which is spiritual is eternal. It's also very relishable and sweet. Materialistic people, they may also consider their relationships very relishable and sweet. And thus they lament if their wife, their dearly beloved wife, or their dearly beloved son passes away. The sweetness of the relationship in material existence, that always turns to poison. Either the persons who loved each other, they fight with each other after some time, or the attachment to each other is broken by death, and thus they lament. But the spiritual relationship continues. Exactly how it continues, that Krishna will see. Srila Prabhupada was advised by a librarian in Delhi that to write books rather than, or at least as a supplement to publishing a magazine. Srila Prabhupada recognized, this is my guru speaking through this librarian. Bilva Mangal Thakur accepted a prostitute as his guru. A prostitute cannot be a guru. But because she advised him to be attached to Krishna, he found in those words of the guru, not in every action of the guru, but in those words, the presence of his guru, his eternal guru. So definitely the relationship between guru and disciple is eternal if we sincerely want it to be. Exactly how that will manifest, that Krishna will arrange. In the spiritual world, there are also leaders and followers. So I can answer that in a general way. Srila Prabhupada also said that the acharya goes from universe to universe preaching Krishna consciousness, and his associates go with him. So, we may join in another universe also. So, several of you are to accept initiation a little later. So, congratulations to all of you on having come to this point. You can be very grateful to those devotees who have helped you to come to this point. It's not that by taking initiation one immediately becomes perfect. It is the beginning of one's full commitment in Krishna consciousness. There are many challenges ahead. We can face those challenges with the help of Krishna, taking help, necessary help from Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Hare Krishna. Is there any question, please? No. All right then. Nothing. So we'll finish there. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.